BBC Six Music Podcasts.
Six Music.
This is a free download from the BBC.
Find out more at bbc.co.uk/6music.
And now, Adam and Joe.
Hey! How you doing, Pod Squad?
How you doing, listeners? This is Adam and Joe with the first of three special podcasts from Glastonbury featuring the highlights of our coverage from Britain's greatest meeting of young and irresponsible minds.
It's only a two-hour show and there's an awful lot of wiffle and waffle, so it's not going to be as long as a normal Adam and Joe podcast would be, but still, we hope we've got some fun things coming your way. We are stood in my favourite part of the BBC J-Man. Compound right now.
J-Man? Yeah, that's me. Hey, how you doing?
Very beautiful woman just walked by and said, J-Man.
Yeah, she wasn't talking to me.
She was passing Joe. She was talking to someone else.
Bumbags.
But yes, we're stood right next to where they do the TV coverage, and they're just setting up right now. We've just finished our program. It's about 10:15 in the evening.
Gorillas. Joe Wiley's just drifted past, hasn't she? Looking very beautiful.
She's dressed up like a kind of Björk.
She seems to have murdered some raccoons and made them into a shawl.
She's murdered like a whole big gang of raccoons.
We saw her earlier with a big cage of raccoons and a hammer.
She's just looking adorable as usual. It's all very exciting. The lights are being tested and rehearsals are underway for the BBC Two Glastonbury programme, presented as usual by Hufty and Sir David Frost.
Hufty.
Who knows what kind of crazy hijinks they'll be up to tonight and what sort of middle
it's
of the road
bands. Amazing that they went for Frost, isn't it? Still can't get my head around that.
Well, Frost was the obvious choice for the satire.
It was down to Frost and Alistair Stewart, wasn't it? And Stewart nearly got it, but Frost pipped him with a jowl swipe.
Alistair Stewart's doing it for the Living Channel.
Is he?
I think so, yeah. He's doing his own Glastonbury coverage.
So listen, listeners, enjoy these highlights. We'll be back with you at the end of the highlights for more waffles.
Take care. I love you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
This is the voice of the big British castle, coming live from the Glastonbury Fiesta Mule. Your hosts tonight are Dr. Buckley's and Corny Corns, but for paperwork they're known as Adam and Joe, just so you know.
Hey, man. Good
hey.
To see you.
Good to see you.
Haven't been on the air with Joe for 6 months, more, 7 months maybe.
I know.
Since before Christmas 2010. I haven't seen you. You've been working on your film.
Yeah.
And you're in the edit right now, is that right?
Yeah. And we're cutting at the moment.
Yeah. Cutting, scratching. And it's weird because you finished principal photography.
When I said yeah, like that, that was like a...
That was like a joke.
Like a joke. I just want to make that clear.
That's not
I haven't started
actually,
talking like that
yes,
now.
Yes, it is. You hang out with Prince William.
I might too soon.
You love Prince William. So what I'm a little bit confused about, right, with this whole film that you've done and everything, is when do we shoot my stuff?
Later.
With Jules Holland?
A lot later.
Because, like, I understood that principal photography had finished.
No, it's part of a new process.
Oh.
It's like 3D. It's like a step forward from 3D. But it means there's certain elements you don't actually film.
Because I've got a...
Like, for years.
Sure.
For years later.
Oh, I see. Because I assumed, like, you know, because you're making a film, I assumed I'd have quite a big part in the film. Because I'm an actor. I don't know if you know. I was in The Persuasionist. Won a couple of BAFTAs. And...
No, I saw that.
Yeah. So I was just a little confused when... But it's all happening later.
It's later,
later.
Yeah.
Good
so just hang on in there.
Thanks, man.
But it's great to be back, listeners.
Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to our special Sunset Show, the first of three shows coming to you live from Glastonbury, which is a big festival in Somerset.
Massive festival. Fifth time I've been here, fourth time for Cornballs.
Yeah.
And it's probably the most exciting one so far, I would say, because the atmosphere is electric out there.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you've been listening to coverage on Six Music this afternoon, you will have heard all the DJs commenting on the fact that it's unusually rammed out there. A lot of semi-naked, attractive young people wandering around with not enough sun protection on. Mm. It's really baking hot. It's going to get hotter and hotter throughout the weekend. How are you smelling?
I'm smelling all right, but I'm a little bit sticky from suntan lotion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like the process of putting that stuff on.
Do you not?
Do you use the squirt or the spread?
I love the spread.
The spread. Are we still talking about suntan lotion?
I like to spray.
You like to spray?
Yeah. Yeah. I like a thin mist. I like to spray the mist in the air and then walk into it.
I'm
like
thinking
a lady
of
would
moistening my bed sheets tonight with suntan lotion so
are
I
you?
Don't have to apply it in the morning.
That's a good idea.
I just, every time I rolled over in bed, it would just distribute itself around my cracks and nannies.
That's how I do it with my face. I squirt a lot of it into the pillow and then rub my face in the
pillow.
That's
the best way to do it. It saves time.
If I don't have a pillow, I'll do it with a woman.
Forgive us for stating the obvious. You'll do what?
Have you ever, you've never done that? Like, if a woman is too busy to actually apply the suntan lotion to you, you just pour it on her and then rub yourself on her. It works either way around. It doesn't have to be a man with a woman. Hey, listeners, serious warning before we go any further. This program contains weak language from the outset, as well as lasers, strobes, and explicit full frontal nudity. Mm. So you should be warned.
Text the nation. Text, 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 text the nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
So it's very sunny here, listeners. I don't know whether anyone's made that clear. Any other DJs have made it clear that it's very, very sunny here. And every year everyone moans about the rain. Everyone's weather obsessed. Finally, after what, 10 years, 11 years?
Something like that.
It's sort of like the perfect Glastonbury. It's going to be sunny for the whole weekend. And people kind of don't know what to do. It's as if it's raining very heavily. Like when it's raining heavily... shelter is at a premium. Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now shade is the thing that everyone's desperate to get into.
Exactly. And it's unbelievably hot everywhere you go, and there's no real place to escape from it. I'm surprised that not more people have got paddling pools. I only saw one.
Are you?
Yeah.
Would you bring a paddling pool?
Sure, I was considering.
How would you fill it up?
Well, you bring the water, obviously.
You bring the gallons and gallons of water.
Yeah, you'd have to drive a truck.
Yeah, or do you just run a hose from your house?
Exactly.
A long hose.
A really long hose.
But listen, here's the point of Text the Nation. We are worried that a lot of people over the weekend are going to get horribly sunburnt.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of lobster-type people going around. And we were sort of remembering our childhood and the way attitudes to sun protection have changed. Because back when we were kiddies, people really didn't care. And I remember as a kid, after going on a holiday in France, having a competition to see who could peel off the biggest bits of skin.
I know, that's unbelievable. We used to have fun. That would be the badge of pride when you got back from a summer holiday.
Mm-hmm.
You'd get all excited because it's a bit depressing getting back. But then the fun part is getting to peel off like a foot of skin from
your
forearm.
Terrible thing, and you shouldn't do it. It's medically wrong and very dangerous, but it used to be sort of acceptable. So we want to hear your sunburn horror stories. Nothing too awful, right? Or would that be all right?
What, like resulting in death?
That would be probably too awful.
That would be a bit of a downer. What's yours? I mean, have you burned yourself badly?
I got horrible sunstroke in Thailand once, and I nearly died.
Did you?
I felt like I nearly died.
Yeah,
my girlfriend saved me with a salty saline solution.
I don't want to know about that. It can be horrific. I mean, and the thing is, you've got to be so careful in the sun. One moment you're absolutely fine. The next minute you get that slightly nauseated feeling, and then it stays with you for ages when you're badly sunburned. There's no kind of comparable feeling to it, apart from being unbelievably drunk and having had a boulder drop on your head.
Yeah. It's a recipe for disaster. Drink, great bands, no shade.
No shame.
No shame.
That's the big missing component of the whole thing, you know? If you remove shame from the equation.
If you're ashamed of your body, you don't expose so much, right?
Yeah.
It's people who are prepared to get their boobs out.
Mm-hmm.
Men and women.
And there are a lot of them out there.
We're coming live from Glastonbury. We are extremely glad. The atmosphere's amazing, but the smell is very bad in the festive hall.
I've got some remarkable facts about one of the bands who have just played at this year's Glastonbury Festival.
That's just what this show needs, some hardcore facts.
Well, it's what people expect from us, isn't it?
A little bit of structure, a bit of integrity.
So here's a little band facts jingle for you.
Glastonbury Band Facts.
That sets the right tone, I think.
It really does. It lifts. It really sounds authoritative.
Yeah.
And it sort of really pushes home the point that what we're about to hear is factual.
Exactly. And also, I was trying to do some kind of branding the way that they would on Six Music and other groovy stations.
Good try.
Thanks.
What? Nice try.
Here we go. Here's our first selection of band facts this evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is band facts about Vampire Weekend.
I'm scared.
They played a brilliant set today.
They did.
Did you enjoy it? He's a good-looking fellow, the lead singer there. They were on the Pyramid stage. a couple of hours ago or an hour or so ago. Band fact number one about Vampire Weekend. Did you know that each one of the four members of Vampire Weekend attended Harvard, Oxford, and De Montfort University? Where they all graduated with first-class honours in chemistry, maths, grooving, and tennis.
Did they attend all those places simultaneously?
Simultaneously.
Simultaneously.
That's where they met. They had to shuttle between
lectures.
Exactly.
Wow. They're highly educated.
They really are.
I mean, overeducated.
They're the eggheads of the indie rock
Being
world.
Overeducated can be an obstacle if you're creative.
Sometimes, especially in rock.
You know that phrase, paralysis by analysis?
No.
If you think about stuff too much, sometimes it blocks your tubes.
That happens to me all the time.
Does it? You're too clever. You want to dumb yourself down.
Which tubes are you talking about?
The brain tubes.
Oh, no.
Watch
a
little
BBC
problem. 3.
Here's another interesting fact about Vampire Weekend. Lead singer Ezra Koenig is the son of Commander Koenig. Who was the head of Moonbase Alpha? No, he was the head of Moonbase Malpha.
I was going to say, Malpha. What? I wasn't going to say that.
It was a real Moonbase. Yes, it was the real Moonbase.
Unbase Malpha.
Yes. Unbase Malpha was the real Moonbase that the one in the TV show was based on. I'm talking about Space 1999.
Okay.
Which was based on Unbase Malpha, where Ezra Koenig's dad was like the head. Here's another interesting fact about Vampire Weekend you may not know.
I think we could talk more about the Oon.
Oon base.
Yeah. Trip to the Oon.
Did you know that Vampire Weekend drummer Monty McGuire Mapplethorpe...
Is that his real name?
I think so. Collects women.
Really?
Yeah, so far...
That's disturbing.
He has three.
In what? Where does he keep them?
Oh, they follow him.
Are they alive? They're all right?
Yeah, they're all fine.
It's not in a sort of a Buffalo Bill kind of a way.
Listen, man, he wouldn't collect women if they were just dead. And
that's not such a startling fact. I mean, he's a rock star. Most of them are in it for women.
Yeah, that's true. But he's got three.
That's good, man.
I mean, that's more than most people.
Do they get on together?
No. They have to be kept apart. they get on very badly. They're very jealous of each other. They're not happy with the situation.
It's really changing my
attitude.
But
Monty loves to collect women, so what's he? You know, he wants to have them around. He keeps them in cabinets. Peter Gate, did you know? Final Vampire Weekend band fact.
I did know this.
Peter Gabriel attends every show that the band play, and he points to himself when they mention his name in the song Cape Cod Kwasa Kwasa. Do you know that song?
No.
It feels so unnatural. Peter Gabriel too.
Wow.
You know, they mention his name. He goes to every show.
Really? Just to get a little ego hit?
Right. And he pops his head above the crowd.
In the wings or in the crowd?
Right in the middle of the crowd.
Is he?
And he points at himself like, me, they're singing about me. If he can't make it to a show, the band are legally obliged to replace his name with that of Terry Alderton. It feels so unnatural. Terry Alderton too.
Is he there?
He can't make it now.
Really?
He's busy.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, those were astonishing facts. Well done. Where do you get your facts?
I look them up.
On the internet?
Yeah.
Do you go to the British Library?
Some of them I start off on the internet, mm-hmm. then I go to verify them at the British Library.
At the British Library. Well, well done.
Thank you. And
thank goodness.
They're verified as well by independent authorities.
Yeah, thanks.
Adam and Joe are live at Glastonbury. They got music, they got talking, they got BBC, which stands for Beer, Biscuits and Crisps.
Right now we are crossing live to Rodrigo, our man on the spot, just at the park stage, where a couple of special guests have just taken the stage. There's been rumours all weekend about, well, it's not the weekend yet, is it? It's just Friday, but all week there have been rumours about who the special guests this weekend will be. A lot of people were saying Bowie at one stage.
I was. A surprise!
But I don't think it is Bowie. Rodrigo, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
How you doing?
Hello, Rodrigo.
Hi there.
Describe to us what you can see.
I can see a man with a white t-shirt and a bandana playing on a piano. I believe his name is Tom York and the track's called The Eraser.
Wow, when you described him there, I thought it was Axl Rose. And I was really excited. Anyway, Tom York, that's okay.
Who's up there with him, Rodrigo? Is he on his own?
He's on his own right now, but I have to say there's a couple of guitars lying about in the background that look like they're probably going to get used.
The Proclaimers.
Well, I heard a rumour that Johnny Greenwood is going to be stepping up on stage with Tom, and they're going to be rattling through a few Radiohead numbers. He just started with a track from The Eraser there, his solo album. But yeah, there's going to be some Radiohead hits flying around the park stage.
Rodrigo, what was the response there when the Yorkie Bar came out onto the stage?
The Yorkie Bar, I haven't heard that one. Incredible, actually. I mean, the crowd was slowly building up, but now the park sort of field is completely full. I can even see Ed O'Brien and Nigel Godrich, of course, floating about. They're all watching. Everyone's kind of standing stock still, kind of in shock.
Yeah.
So
sexy shock. And did people know, was the buzz around the festival site that it was going to be Thom Yorke, or people genuinely had no clue?
There was definitely a bit of talk around today.
York talk.
But I did see a lot of excitable people running over here, asking who's the special guest, who's the special guest. I think it was just rumours rather than facts.
Was it children going, who's the special guest? Who's the special? I'm the special guest. With their dad. No.
What are you talking about?
I don't know
about?
What I'm talking about.
Rodrigo and I are very confused.
I got tired.
Listen, Rodrigo, this is a major event. Do you think it would be acceptable? Because I'd like to see this. Would it be all right for Six Music just to drop off air while we came and joined you and watched?
Please do, yeah.
Is that okay?
Watch.
How long would it take us to run over to the park stage?
Can we just
from
do swapsies?
About 20 minutes, yeah, fine.
At the moment, we are broadcasting from an OB van just next to the Pyramid stage in the centre of Glastonbury. But yeah, it would take at least 20 minutes, I think, to run over to the
park
stage.
Is the castle recording this performance? No, we're not sure. Negotiations, it's impromptu.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. You can't just record and broadcast whatever you want.
Do that
there's
with
rules
the special
and
guests.
It's a special thing only for people who are here.
Exactly.
Maybe not.
Text the Nation. Text, text, text. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
So we were asking you about your terrible sunburn traumas. Here is one. Oh, no. This person hasn't put their name there.
Just make a name up.
Terry Turnips. He says, I burnt my nose once on holiday. It peeled off in one piece. And so I posted it to my mum.
Oh.
It was amazing.
The whole nose?
No, I assume just a perfect sort
a
of sculptural
layer.
Form of the nose. But then he put it in the post to his mum.
What the heck
That's
is?
That's a loving thing for a son to do.
You reckon? Every mum dreams of receiving a scab from their son.
It wasn't
son.
A scab. It was a nose-shaped piece of skin.
A shard of skin.
I think that's beautiful and touching.
Nose-shaped. Oh, I see. But if it had sort of hardened to the extent that he could remove the whole thing, like a moulded...
I doubt it had hardened. It was sort of like a beautiful...
I'm imagining a kind of Groucho Marx plastic right. nose being plucked off now with a moustache beneath.
Yeah, you could attach it to a pair of plastic sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next one. When I got badly sunburned in Spain, my mum put me in a bath of natural strawberry yoghurt. I repeat, a bath of natural strawberry yoghurt. As she had, inverted commas, read somewhere that that's the best way to treat it. It took 30 plus pots.
Wow.
That's cool, don't you think?
Really cool.
Delicious. Nom, 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 nom. I mean, tasty and a lovely soothing balm.
I don't like yoghurt, though. You'd be happy with that.
You don't have to eat it.
No, but you wouldn't want to lie in it. You don't want to lie in a substance that you don't like.
That's a whole other subject.
What do you think you might?
Why not? You're not tasting it just because you don't like
you
the taste of it.
You don't want to lie in it. Why would you want to lie in something you revolts
I'd be perfectly happy.
You?
I hate marzipan. I'd be perfectly happy to have a bath of marzipan.
It's not practical anyway. It's not the kind of substance that you could bathe in. I don't want to bathe in yogurt.
Okay. When I went to Greece, my mate Tammy got sunburn on her back so bad that it came up in blisters. It was like reading a novel in Braille.
What?
I got the job of rubbing in the after sun. It still gives me nightmares.
Ugh.
What if it did actually say something in Braille? Would that be spooky if there was a message?
Yeah. What would it say? Try using sun cream.
Yeah.
Adam and Joe in Glastonbury, back together in perfect harmony. With our all-weather gear and beer, we're here with
Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music, and we're at Glastonbury.
Yes, Glastonbury is a major meeting of young people from around the country to discuss the topical issues of the day in song.
And to experiment with new fashions.
Yes.
New ways of thinking.
Various resolutions will be passed by the young people, resulting in new ways of dressing and new attitudes to society.
And all the stars are on site. And the star quotient has been swollen if I can say that.
Really?
By the arrival of gorillas.
Yes, they've brought simply millions of people with them.
They are on the pyramid stage tonight. They're the big headliners.
It's like Stars on 45.
Who have they got with them? They've got De La Soul.
They've apparently got Marky Smith. This is sort of rumoured, is it? Is it, is it definite, or are these definite. Rumours? Rumours? Yeah, yeah, De La Soul, yeah. Most Def
they're in the
is
house.
There, apparently.
Lou Reed.
Sean Ryder.
Lou Reed.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got all the most cantankerous figures in rock on one stage at one time. And that's sure. Can you imagine what the dressing room is like at the moment?
Brian Cant is here.
Brian Cant, he's strolling around, he's punching Lou Reed.
Mr. Blobby.
Lou Reed's wandering around going, why is Brian Cant staring at me? I don't want Brian Cant staring. And then Marky Smith sort of comes out, all right, how you doing, Brian?
It's like some kind of... I was just going to say something so stupid.
What were you going
to
say?
I've had to rein it in. I was going to say it's like some kind of Hanna-Barbera cartoon. Barbara, what were they called? Barbara. Hanna-Barbera. But then, of course, I realised they are a cartoon band. So it was a completely sort of self-negating comment.
They're playing down the cartoon element, though, I think.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have the
it's a bit
thing
like the
where,
Animal
they,
Olympics.
Where they walk on Animalympics.
Animalympics.
They don't walk on... Like,
it's not like that. It's like the
some
Animal
of the
Olympics.
Concerts they've done, they've got... The gauze thing that they stretch across the stage, do you know? And
yeah,
then
they do the 3D projection.
Yeah, they project the people that come on stage.
Like Cliff Richard in Time.
Uh-huh. That's right. Is he the guy that pioneered all that?
He pioneered a lot of stuff.
They should. Why isn't Cliff Richard one of the
He's
guests?
He's probably here as well.
That you see, I'd have
in
more
hologram
respect
form.
For Damon Albarn if he came. In fact, we got a message from Damon Albarn, which he left earlier on for Six Music. Here it is.
Hello, this is Damon Albarn. I seem to have lost or mislaid some of my confidence. If anyone finds it, can they please hand it in to a member of staff? I really need it for later on. Thanks.
That's a shame, isn't it?
Is that what... Yeah. So...
You know, usually when he's got his confidence, he's more perky than that.
Right.
Because you were thinking... I didn't know he spoke like that, right?
Well, it's based on some profound observation about Albarn that I can't... I don't understand. Does his confidence wax and wane?
I don't know. It's not that specific.
I need the facts.
Why are you asking me?
So much wonderful music at Glastonbury by so many great bands. So come on, let's hear a little bit right now.
Ooh. Happy 40th birthday, Glastonbury Festival. Ah, it's nice. It's a momentous year in many ways, not least because it's the 40th birthday of Glastonbury, but obviously because of the sport ball.
Yeah, you, everyone out there knows that me and Adam are big football fans. We love the footy, so this is a very exciting time of year for us.
We live for the game.
We live for the game. Football, the great game, the beautiful game, the lovely ball.
The gentleman's game.
Sport of kings.
Sport of kings. Sport
King of
sports.
Kings.
Sport of kings.
Shut up.
And, you know, it's not just great that there's all the sport ball going on. Also, it's in South Africa, mate. So it's a nice opportunity to talk like that, like a real South African, out of respect to the people of South Africa.
That is very respectful.
And if you don't do the accent, well, that's not respectful. You know, you'd expect the same if they came to this country, wouldn't you? To do the accent.
I don't think I can even engage with that accent.
So have you been watching all the games and getting all excited?
I've tried to avoid it.
What?
I've tried to avoid it.
Because too excited?
Well, I've been working, but in central London, so it's hard because a huge cheers go up whenever anything happens. So, you know, you get forced to check it out
at
on the
moment,
internet.
At, so far it's been, oh! Those have been the main cheers I've heard. That's a little in-joke, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, because I think they've been doing badly.
Oh, they have? What, who, England?
Yeah.
No, they've been doing all right.
Have they?
Yeah, they've done one bad one, and now they've done a good one.
Sure, I heard they'd done two bad ones.
No, they've done one bad one, where they done one, then they've done the other one's one in their one.
Yeah.
Right? And then they've done another one, but they've done a 1-0 one.
Ah, that
so
was the good one.
So now they've got two.
Yay!
right, James?
The other
that's
day.
That's good, man. That's good. That's good. Come on.
That's
the first
good
game
analysis.
Was 1-0, wasn't it? No, it was 1-1. Only England scored the other one for on the other's behalf, right? They put one in for them. Yeah, he pushed it in with his, didn't he? Yeah.
With his fist.
And then the other one, everyone thought they were going to go out and it was going to be a big stinky winky. But in the end, they'd done all right.
They'd done a good one.
And they'd done one.
Have you watched any... So you haven't watched any of the coverage. The other day, I turned the TV on about an hour before the game on Wednesday, the good one that they'd done. And it was Gary Lineker was on there. He does this sport programme.
That's the big chant on the terraces.
Sport? What?
They done a good one.
Yes,
good.
Yes.
You done a good one. You done it in
ooh,
the goal.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
I turned on the telly and there was Gary Lineker, right? And football progs now, it's like the news. It's like they're covering the election or something.
It's very serious.
It's dead serious. And at one point, he said, we're interrupting this program to bring you some breaking news. And then a news flash came on.
Yes.
And I was thinking, what the hell's going on? And it was all in like the BBC News graphics and stuff. And it was a lady saying, an extremely strong virus has broken out. Symptoms include quickening of the... At this point, I'm thinking, this is real.
It's outbreak.
What's happening? She says, symptoms include quickening of the pulse, a rise in temperature and stress levels, and can result in outbreaks of rage. It's being called England fever. And then they had pictures of flags. And I was totally suckered into it.
No.
Yeah, and then they cut back to the studio and Gary said, I think I've got that.
Gary.
Gary. And then they had this thing, like they had a comment from an old football manager. I don't know who it was, like Ron Penalties or whatever. And they'd shot him in a... Like in the olden days, presumably they would have just cut to a studio with like a picture of a ball behind him and he would have said,
yeah, the team's doing well, but they need to concentrate on the corners and polish their studs.
But this time they had this guy and they'd shot him in a moodily lit locker room or something. And it was all flash camera work, like he was framed to the extreme right of frame and stuff. And there was lots of impressionistic wipes and fast cuts to like close-up shots of bags and football studs and whatever, and there was piano music playing underneath all his bon mot and words of wisdom and stuff. Here's the kind of thing I'm talking about.
I accept that so far the football has gone badly. Rooney hasn't been playing well. I don't know what his problem is, but I would say to him this: come on, Wayne. Kick the ball much better and make it go into the goals. Don't, whatever you do, and I would say this to all the men in the England football gang squad, do not let the enemy team get the ball and kick it into our goal, because then they're going to win the game. We can do it, but the football has got to go in their net, because that is netball.
That was the kind of thing they had. It was dead serious, you know. It was very
That was
stirring.
Inspirational.
It was inspirational.
Plus, it taught me some basic facts about the game that maybe have been preventing me from enjoying it in the past.
Well, man, we are going to be broadcasting on Sunday night after England play Germany.
The big game.
And it's the big game and all those all
the
those
fate
years.
Of the nation is on the line.
Absolutely.
The Britain's pride.
Britain's pride.
Poor,
I'm so glad you brought Britain's pride.
Broken Britain.
Yes.
Stumbling along like a drunk old tramp with one last chance.
Yeah. And we can turn it all around, team, is what I'm
just
saying.
Just one goal ball net score.
Exactly.
I'm pushing through the crowd. Out my way, please. Cheers. I gotta get to the front. Don't you spill my beers.
We're sat on the hill just above the park stage. And it's as if there are many cities beneath us. We're looking at them from miles above the earth, but we're not. It's just quite close. They're just tents.
It's a sea of revels. There's revelry happening.
Oh,
rebel!
I thought you said rebels.
No, it's well. It's a sea of rebels.
There's
in
a lot
way,
of rebels.
Because everyone here is rebellious in a way. They hate the man. Everyone here hates the man.
And there's a lot of individuality and a lot of expression of individuality.
It's a How bit much, too like, much
exactly.
expression of individuality.
In 10 years, what's it going to be like? Because you would think that the expression of individuality has got as extreme as it can possibly get down there. What more can they do to express their individuality?
Well, to illustrate Adam's point, on the way across the festival site, we saw a lady sitting on the ground. She was a more senior lady. She was nude, wasn't she?
I would say she was in her 70s. And
she was very deeply tanned, wasn't she?
Yeah, she had skin like an old school satchel.
She was very lovely, but she was naked and reading a book. We approached her from behind so we could at least see her back. She's a lovely person.
She was, I'm sure, a lovely person. She looked really...
She was lovely. There's nothing unlovely about the body of an older person.
Certainly, you know, it just takes you by surprise. It just takes a bit of getting used to. It's like suddenly being in that room in The Shining.
Yeah. She didn't come for us like that woman does.
And then we walked past another teepee, and there was another woman inside the teepee, a similar age and in a similar state
of
undress.
So, hey, if you're, you know, in your later years and you feel like hanging around in the nude, this is the place to do it.
Without getting arrested.
We approached this old woman from behind, didn't we? None of us dared look back.
Yeah, we walked past her and everyone was saying, don't look back, don't look back. And we were all trying not to look back.
The pages of her book were wide open.
Yeah.
With all the words on display for all to read.
The leaves flapping.
Not sure it was a book that was suitable for adults either. Children, what?
What do you think she was reading? Yeah.
I don't know.
Enid Blyton. Steve Mason's about to come on stage.
I was going
to
say something so obscene.
That's why I could sense it, so I stopped you.
I had quite a few ideas of what her book was called.
But going back to the whole notion of people expressing their individuality, like, what is the future other than getting naked and having tattoos and stuff?
Well, I suppose stripping away actual layers of skin so muscle is exposed. Maybe some sort of cranial removal, like to have your brain exposed, like Ray Liotta in Silence of the Lambs. That would be pretty individual. You wouldn't find anyone else with that around. That would be a statement, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh. And what about building onto yourself extra limbs?
Extra limbs, yeah, absolutely. To be like some sort of Indian god, to have extra robotic limbs. In fact, it's disappointing that nobody has. I think it's, everyone's being very conformist.
Because you could have surgical staples in your skull. You could staple all kinds of things. It's the kind of thing that you expect to see in the mutoid waste zone, Shangri-La area.
Yeah.
You know? Because that down there, it's like end-of-year show at art school or something.
Mutoid Waste Company, they've been around for decades, and they're brilliant. They have dinosaur trucks.
Yeah, they do, don't they? They are pursuing the Mad Max ethic.
It's like Tank Girl, but now. So listen, there's an extraordinary view here. We can see tents as far as the eye can view. We can see all of the main stages, which are going to be the scene of many great concerts, yeah, over the next few nights, yeah, concerts.
That's what the point of this thing is, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's your favourite concert that you're looking forward to most?
The Royal Philharmonic.
Yeah.
I hope there's a bit of Sibelius.
It's hard to believe that there actually will be any concerts. The atmosphere is so chilled and relaxed and sunny that the idea of people getting together in a big mass and jumping around seems too exhausting and hot and sweaty.
Well, during the hot hours of the day, everyone's just getting ready to let go tonight. Yeah. And I think when the sun goes down and we come on air, the place is going to be bedlam. There's going to be so much pent-up energy. It's going to explode. It's going to be the most incredible Glastonbury ever, I predict.
What's the old lady, the nude lady, going to start doing at that point?
Well, she'll go out into the throng.
And start rubbing...
Yeah, she'll go into the crowd, the most crowded mosh pit available.
Yeah.
Put her arms above her head, waggle her wizened wares around the place. And before you know it, because let's face it, in a mosh pit situation, you can press yourself up against whoever you want.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a very conservative world at the moment, but this is a chance to really...
It's not the kind of place that people are expecting to be...
Have their personal
treated
space
with
respected.
Decorum, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And you couldn't reasonably sue someone for harassment afterwards, could you?
So that lady, she can go and really let it all hang out. And
yeah.
She can get intimate with people
That's
of all ages.
It's a good idea for perverts, though, isn't it? To go to a thing like this and just get absolutely... Because people can't really
We are
object.
At a thing like this. We're here.
I know, but this is what I'm saying. This could be a plan. Get nude, go right into the middle of the crowd...
No one would know you were nude because you can't see anybody from below the head and shoulders, can you?
Exactly.
I mean, no one would know what was going on down there.
Yo, what's going on? What's the scene? Who the heck are these crazy guys? Well, one's called Adam and the other's called Joe, and you're listening to their podcast. Oh.
So how did you get to the Glastonbury Festival? Because you arrived today, Joe.
I did. Yes. I was interested in an email I was CC'd on when we were talking about doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
You had, Adam, you were, and it was like talking about the arrangements to get down here, and you were very insistent that you were going to bring your bike.
Yeah.
It was part of your conditions, must bring bike, must be allowed to cycle on and off the site.
Yes.
And that's true, isn't it? You really wanted to do that this year. Have you done that?
I have done it. I just noticed last year that actually the distance between where we're staying, because we're not staying on site, we're staying nearby in beautiful Wells, of course, Hot Fuzz City. And it's really not very far away. It's only about 6 miles or something. And yet, at the end of the evening, when you wait for the curfew to be lifted, first of all, for the vehicles, because you can't leave immediately after the show is finished, even if you wanted to, which we don't, we want to hang around and have fun. But there's a curfew, and after that's been lifted, then you get on the BBC bus, then it takes about an hour to actually get off the site, then it takes another hour to actually get into Wells, even though it's like 5 miles away or something. So I thought, stuff that. I'm going to get my bike and I'll be able just to get there in half an hour.
It's not a very bike. You don't see a lot of bicycles around.
No. I wonder why.
It's quite a rugged terrain.
It's unspeakably hilly. I forgot that about Somerset.
Between Wells and the site.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy sort of up and down hills. At one point, I just had to get off my bike and push it up an incredibly steep hill for 15 minutes today. I thought I was going to have a massive coronary. But it was a beautiful day, and I was really glad that I did it because I was cycling through some wonderful countryside. Unfortunately, when I got to the actual site, that took me another 45 minutes to, because they wouldn't let me through the vehicle gate. I had to go through the pedestrian gate with my bike.
Wheeling your bike.
Wheeling the bike.
They wouldn't let you ride it.
No.
I had these images of you eccentrically dressed, maybe in a top hat, cycling through all the crowds, people shouting Count Buckley's name.
Well, last year we saw Grimmy Grimshaw, didn't we?
Grimmy Grimshaw.
On his little bike.
And Grimble and Grimble at Christmas.
He was cycling through the VIP area on a fancy little bike, wasn't he, Nick Grimshaw?
He certainly was.
And so I was hoping to get a bit of that action, I must say, but it didn't really materialise. I just got incredibly sweaty. But I was glad I did it. I'm not sure I'm going to cycle back tonight, though, because I think I might have
Might have an accident.
Might have a little drinky afterwards, and I wouldn't want to take any chances.
No, it'd be fun going back, though.
I like it going back, because you get to, I might chuck my bike in the bus, and then there's all the bonhomie and the camaraderie, you know, and there's Steve Lamacq. He hangs from the top of the bus.
Band facts.
Now, Snoop Dogg, he played earlier on today, around about 5 o'clock, the naughty hip-hop sensation. There's a rumour going round.
Oh, can I say that I saw... Yeah. I mean, everyone else has probably said this, but I was in the press area and he came through it.
Ah.
I thought at first he was jogging because he was sort of moving along at a semi-sprint,
Snoop
flanked by four huge bodyguards in sort of beautifully dressed in black suits and white shirts and black ties, jogging along beside him.
Like the Blues Brothers.
Yeah. It was amazing. He's very tall and very, very lean.
Mm.
He still looks about 19.
He's like a whippet.
Yeah. And there was a genuine frisson went
sure.
through the crowd.
Well, he's probably famous, isn't he?
He really is.
So, here's some interesting facts about Snoop Dogg. Did you know that Snoop's controversial album Doggy Style is not just about dogs? It's also about style. Snoop, did you know, was once known as Snoop Doggy Dog, but he dropped his middle name because he thought it was just too silly.
Really?
So he's gone with Snoop Dogg instead. It's a bit like Larry Fishburne calling himself Lawrence Fishburne, people would take him more seriously.
Right. Makes sense. Sounds true.
You know, I mean, he said he woke up one morning, Snoop Doggy Dog? What kind of a crazy name is that? No one's going to take me seriously. I got to drop the doggy.
It makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Did you know that Snoop's father, Michael Dogg, wanted his son to work in his winemaking business. And he is very bitterly disappointed when Snoop chose to be a singer instead.
Really?
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that he's from a very aristocratic family.
Yeah.
Isn't he?
Absolutely. Michael Dogg is one of the premier winemakers in that part of Los Angeles.
Vintners.
Vintners is exactly what he is. And yeah, it's very humiliating when your son, who supposedly is going to take over the winemaking empire, turns his hand
Dynasty.
To being a singer instead.
Yeah.
Final Snoop fact. Snoop disapproved strongly of the macho posturing associated with hip-hop, and he decided to braid his hair like a girl in protest. That's why he does it.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought that was because he was a big Pippi Longstocking fan.
That might be partly to do with it, but no, it's mainly, it's like an in-your-face. It's like, I'm going to look as much like a little girl.
Pippi Longstrumpf.
What is Pippi Longstrumpf?
I think that's how you say it in the country where it's from, which is somewhere in Europe like Dutchland.
Ah, yes.
Pippi Longstrumpf.
Longstrumpf.
What are the Smurfs called in their original language? The Strumpfs. Or something like that. It is, I promise you.
They're called the Smurfs.
They're not, they're called the Stroofs.
The Strumpfs.
The Strumpfs. Someone will text us in and tell us what the Smurfs are actually called in their country of origin.
What was those?
Which is Smurfland.
Yeah. Ruled by General Abrahams.
Yeah.
F. Murray Abrams.
Yeah.
No, J.J. Abrams.
J.J. Abrahams.
Father J.J. He runs it.
This is the Big British Castle broadcasting on the emergency Glastonbury frequency. We are being held hostage in a field by some cartoon ponces and a man pretending to be a cockney. Please send help immediately. Over.
We were talking earlier about our respective trips here, and yesterday I took the train from Norwich to get to Glastonbury. It was a little two-leg journey there. Unfortunately, my train to London from Norwich was cancelled when I turned up, Joe.
Looks a lordy.
I had to make alternative arrangements, as did the rest of the travellers on that trip, and it was very busy. And because it was a lovely sunny day, more people than just myself had brought their bicycles, which they hoped to put on the train. It wouldn't have been a problem if the train was running normally to London. We would have put it in the guard's van. No problem. But because the train was cancelled, it was the alternative was one of those three coach jobbies, like little hoppers, basically.
Hate them.
You know? But still, there's bike storage on those. So all of us, there was four of us with bikes, we all crowded round the doors for the bike storage carriage. And the first chap, when the doors finally opened, put his bike on the bike storage bit. And I was waiting patiently for him to move so I could put mine in there. There was a couple of girls with bikes behind me. And then this sort of posh bloke who looked a little bit like Tim Nice But Dim, you know, got up.
Was it Christopher Nolan?
Could well have been. Mm. Yeah, could well have been. And he got that up there and he had quite a big black suitcase. And he popped the suitcase next to the bike in the bike storage area. Mm. So the fellow before me with the bike said, could you move your bag? There's other people who are going to be putting their bikes in. And he said, no. And so he said,
what?
He just said, no, I'm not going to move it. And so the guy was like, oh, it's a bike storage area though. No, it's not. And so we had the satisfaction of pointing to the large sticker that said bike storage.
Nice.
He said, well, there's seats there. There's three seats there, fold-up seats. What if I want to sit in those seats? We're like, okay. Those other seats you could sit. Well, where am I going to put my bag? Well, you could put it in a luggage rack. No, there's no room. I'm going to sit here. I'm going to sit on my bag right here. What do you think about that?
Was he mad?
Well, this was the thing. I looked into his eyes, and he was all a quiver a little bit.
He was
like
shaking.
He really was. Maybe he'd had a bad day, I don't know what, but he was thinking, I am going to jolly well have a confrontation about this. I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm sick of people with bikes telling me where I can go and where I can't go. No, I'm going to sit here in a bike storage area on my belly bag. If you want to do something about it, you can. Laura Blind and Data.
Wow.
He turned into Cilla Black. But so he was absolutely quivering. And I was thinking, wow, this is amazing. Usually it's me that's in these situations getting furious. And now suddenly I'm confronted by a totally unreasonable guy.
Like, and you were cool as a cucumber in total control.
Cool as a cucumber.
So what an amazing opportunity to say some of the coolest things you've ever said.
Well, I didn't want to put him down.
No.
I thought this is an opportunity.
Very adult, very mature.
For me to help this nutcase. And because people were sort of standing around, the train was about to leave. He was stopping everyone from putting their bikes on and stuff. An old lady said, it sounds like you're being very unreasonable. What are you doing there? And he said, who are you? To this old woman. I was like, hey, everyone calm down. Now, listen, I'm going to help you.
You said this.
Yeah. I said, I'm going to help you put your bag.
You said, hey, everybody calm down. Did you really say that?
I may not have said, hey. But I said to him, listen, man, just calm down.
What would have been
so
better?
Upset? Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Is if everyone had shouted, but then, like in a movie, you shouted the loudest.
Right.
Do you know when they do that in films?
Or slapped him.
Or slapped someone. Everybody be quiet!
Yeah.
And everyone else goes, he's louder than anyone else. We should listen to him.
He's like one of the army men from the army recruitment ads. So I'm completely calmed the whole situation down. And I found him a spot for his bag. I mean, I totally humiliated the guy in a way.
Treating him like a baby.
He needed to be treated like a baby. And in the end, he's sort of like having been proved completely wrong, and he was totally in the wrong, 100% in this whole situation. He sort of swished past me, and I was expecting maybe an apology or something. But no, he was too furious. There was no question of one. He just sort of said, well, I'm just going to let it lie, and swished past me like that. But then later on, I saw him like flirting with some attractive women at Ely Station, and it turned out that he was just making friends with them. And I felt like going over and saying, do you realise that man's unbalanced?
He sounds like a dude.
A mega dude.
I think he could be a mega dude.
Maybe he was.
I think you've misread the situation.
I didn't realise.
What a story. You're like a nut magnet.
Well, I was just wanting to tell the story because usually, as I say, it's the other way around. And this was one of the very rare occasions where I rose above the situation.
And that's the end of the podcast. Now here's a goodbye link.
Thank you, Glastonbury. Amazing. We'll be back next year if Scooch cancel again. Good night.
There we go. That was the end of our first night of Glastonbury coverage, and very nice to be back together again for the first time.
Took us a while. Took me a while to get into the stride of things after our 6 month absence.
Yeah, plus I'm not very good in a very small, crowded space with lots of people coming in and out, and
it's quite busy in there, wasn't it?
Hard to relax and focus, you know.
We like to be alone in a hermetically sealed, vapid box.
Void in a one of those rooms with an anechoic chamber.
An anechoic chamber.
You know, with the cones. That's what they're called.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Like what David Bowie comes out of
exactly,
on the cover of
exactly.
Station to Station.
That's right. That's the still from The Man Who Fell to Earth.
This is such an informative chamber. Program.
Do you want to know another word that I found out the other day?
We should be on the Open University.
We should do.
Well,
I was going to tell you, they asked. they want us to do a show.
Do they?
Yeah. About Brownian motion.
Because we are number one Brownian
and
motion
it's
experts.
It's going to be co-hosted with Jackson Brown.
And James Brownian motion.
Brownian motion.
Really?
Yeah, that's one of my band facts.
And we're
going to
have lots of brownies who are going to be dancing.
Exactly.
And they're called the Brownies in Motion.
But I found out another word I was going to tell you to expand your
vocabulary
even more.
Is that good to have to be reminded of the word vocabulary when you're about to
expand
mine?
You're about to boast
mine.
About having expanded it. The word anhedonic.
Anhedonic. Everyone knows what that means.
What's that mean?
I don't know.
It means an inability to take pleasure in supposedly pleasurable activities.
Really? I think I've got that.
An inability to enjoy pleasurable activities.
Where did you pick that up?
Ian McEwan's book, Solar.
Say it again.
Anhedonic.
Anhedonic.
But we are not anhedonic.
Oh, that's like hedonistic.
Exactly. It's the opposite of hedonistic, I suppose.
Wow.
Or it's the
fascinating.
Yeah, you learn a lot of stuff listening to this podcast.
You're fascinating.
Aren't I?
And you're attractive. You're covered in a lush coat of hair.
Thanks. What are we going to do now, man?
You're the perfect man.
We're going to go out and...
We're going to go and watch Gorillaz.
Gorillaz.
Yeah, who are sounding amazing. We're just hearing their resonance, but we're going to hear the actual source sounds.
And we'll be back with another podcast, same time tomorrow.
Thanks for listening.
Cheers, listeners. Good to be back with you.
See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.
If you enjoyed the Adam and Joe podcast, then why not try the John Richardson podcast? Download it now. bbc.co.uk/6music.